What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and tonight is October 3rd. It's a Thursday. We're now into a spooky month, Halloween month, so it's that time of year. Fall is close. Halloween's getting closer. It's the greatest time of year. Football, I think, is on our TV every single night for the next several months. So
almost 2 months, yeah.
So it is a great time to be a football fan. It's a great time right now to be a Texas Tech football fan. This is episode 236. Today we're discussing the Texas Tech victory over Cincinnati and, of course, previewing the upcoming matchup with the Arizona Wildcats in Tucson. So lots to discuss today, another victory to celebrate, and then a big game to look ahead to. So in order to catch everything we're doing here at Tailgate Talks, you know the drill. Make sure you follow us. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those 5 stars. 5 stars for the tailgate. If you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. Follow us on social media. We are on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. We were able to get out quite a few tweets during that Cincy game. So shout out to Jones AT&T Stadium for allowing the tweets to get out. So make sure you're following us there if you want to get our thoughts during the game. If you want to get our thoughts during the late night 10 p.m. kickoff this weekend, follow us on Twitter. However, we do have Facebook, Instagram, and a YouTube channel to follow, so be sure to follow us there as well. And lastly, if you have any comments, questions, anything you would like us to discuss here on the tailgate, if you want to meet up with us at a tailgate, all sorts of stuff, you can always send us an email at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. So with all of that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go!
All right, well, the Texas Tech Red Raiders moved to 4-1 on the season after a 44-41 thrilling victory over the Cincinnati Bearcats in a blacked-out Jones AT&T Stadium. Thanks to a missed field goal as time expired, Red Raiders moving to 2-0 in Big 12 conference play. Of course, both of those games came at home back-to-back, so good start to the Big 12 season for the Red Raiders, and a nice recovery to what I think everybody thought might be a debacle of a season after the Washington State game. But Dustin, what were your thoughts on the victory over the Cincinnati Bearcats this past Saturday?
I'm thankful for the win, obviously, but this is more like a we survived situation, yeah, is how I feel. Came down to our kickers are better than yours.
Our kickers, plural, not often plural. Teams get to say that. Yep. But yeah, both of our kickers out there banging in field goals. Meanwhile,
we made our kicks, especially come down the stretch. Theirs missed one at the end of first half and at the end of the game, yeah, to try to tie it up. So thanks for missing. So we kind of survived that one.
It's also weird because it also felt like we shouldn't have been in that one at the same time too. Cause remember, Cincinnati jumped up 14-3 and we're like, oh God, this is,
yeah,
could be
it
bad.
Was a roller coaster of a game. I mean, I tweeted it out that was one of the worst first quarters I've ever seen, especially from us, followed up by a really good, solid, great second quarter to get you back in the game. And then third quarter kind of laid the hammer down and you were up 2 touchdowns at one point and thought you had this one in the bag, and then let them creep back in and, yeah, scooted away with the win as the field goal misses. So yeah, thankful for another close victory.
Yeah, this one was all over the place. Like, yeah, had bad feelings at the start of this game, like you said. I think, you know, we've definitely seen worse first quarters from Red Raiders, but at home, usually not. You know, usually not the case of you getting down like that. You had a muff punt in there when you finally got a stop, thought you were getting a little momentum, muffed the kick, or it didn't really muff the kick. I think Josh Kelly caught it and then tried to make a move and got it stripped from him. But yeah, it was a weird game. And then all of a sudden you tie the game up, they miss a field goal, you're tied at half, you force a fumble on their first drive, and all of a sudden you're ahead in this game, which kind of felt odd at that moment. But then from that point on, you really dominated the game.
Yeah.
You were able to kind of take control of it. Always kind of felt like you were comfortable until the very end of the game, where you decided from the 5-yard line to not hand the ball off to the one player who's been dominating this game in Taj Brooks. Doesn't get a single touch from the inside the 5, and you end up kicking a field goal there. Since he goes down, you drop a easy interception, and they're able to make you cling on to the very end of this game. And luckily their kicker is ass and sailed that thing to the right this time. And do you remember, like, as soon as it went up in the air, we're like, oh, that's got that. You're like, that's
so I would bad. Never had a chance. It was hard right the whole time.
Yeah, I was
especially
all
from our angle, which was perfectly straight on.
Yeah,
and that's not a good angle to be at from our spot.
We all started celebrating like when that thing was only like 5 yards in the air. We're like, oh yeah, he missed that. So that was a good feeling. What are your thoughts on the stadium and the atmosphere? I thought it was a one hell of an atmosphere, and I had myself a lot of fun at that game in the crowd. Definitely
great,
as well.
Great atmosphere, great blackout, great uniforms. I know we had a lot of recruits in town that said how much they loved it. You had another opposing team that's not a original Big 12 that, you know, Cincinnati's been around for a year. They still commented on the atmosphere and how much it affected them. And so it's definitely a weapon, and I'm glad we shook off the whatever it was that we were starting that game with in the first quarter, got our heads on straight, because the crowd was rocking. It was definitely helpful come the end of that game, and that kicker.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely helpful. The crowd played a huge part in this one. Like you said, it was very important to get back into this game after that start. We were able to do it, kind of go down, get a touchdown, make it 14-10, give yourself like a fighting chance in this one while the crowd was teetering on the oh great, another blackout. This is how we start the game. Like, man, we just can't do a blackout and have a successful performance from this football team. You're able to battle back, played pretty good. What are your thoughts on the offense in this game? This was the highs and lows of Zach Kittley for me. I think we kept tweeting out several times, this is a Kittley prove-it drive. I thought he did a relatively good job. I think this is one of the better games that I have seen Zach Kittley call, if you're talking about kind of the first half, once we really got going on the offensive side of the ball, kind of up until the end there. But, I thought the offense was consistently moving the ball all game. There's obviously some stuff, and we'll get to the stuff at the end after this, but just your general thoughts on Kittley in this game.
Yeah, it was a pretty good game from the offense all around, from Kittley all the way down through every group.
Receivers. Koi had a crazy kind of up and down game, I thought, but everybody else was pretty solid.
We had the stuff we're going to talk about today, like right now, is little stuff, but makes a big impact, if that makes sense. Because we had a few drives there, especially towards the end of the game. Yeah, like you said, I mentioned, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 times this is a big Kittley drive.
Yeah.
And a few times he answered, and a few times not so much, or not as much as we wanted. Yeah. That's where it came into, like, the problem was down the stretch there, getting into the red zone, and when the field is shrunk, we kind of don't know what to do. And then, like, inside the 5, getting too cute with it a few times instead of letting Taj work. And so just trying to clean that up. I mean, the penalties were cleaned up really well this game. I think we only had 5 total. The drops, a few were still there, but I think they were all like on 1 or 2 drives. Like, it wasn't crazy or killer for you. And so
they're mostly Koi too. I think Koi had like 3 of the
and
drops.
One of them he like made up for the next play. So it's like, okay. Like that's what we're talking about, is like finishing drives in the end zone, especially late when the game's on the line. Like, we could have put them away, I think, 3 different times in this game. A couple of those red zone drives that we had, and then that interception towards the end that we dropped. Like, we had game-winning plays that we literally didn't capitalize on. And, like, that's And I mentioned this to you at the game. And I was like, I'll save it for the pod. But like, those are the differences between a 7-win team and a 9-10 win team. Like,
yeah,
making those plays against any team makes a big difference later on. So like, overall, very good. Let's punch it in and clean a little stuff up.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, I saw some Kittley slander on, and I think normal me probably would have joined in. If he would have lost this game, I would have been. Or if this game, yeah, if this game would have gone to overtime and you would have lost it, the heat on Kittley would have been very high. Luckily, you're able to get the win. But,
yeah.
I thought that, you know, the offense was consistently moving the ball. Taj was a beast in this game. 172 yards, 231 yards rushing on the ground. I thought he had some. I'm not a fan of Baron Morton running the football, but there was a couple times where the call was right for Baron to run the ball, and he had some nice little runs. He had 46 yards on the ground. I did think the call on the 5-yard line where Baron kept it, I thought that was a good call. We were kind of talking about that with our group. They had been so focused on Taj this, Taj that. I thought it was a great time to pull out that kind of play. It had worked a couple times for you. It looked like it was going to be perfect. One dude made a play and stopped Baron from scoring there. And then after that, I thought you got cute. And that's where I wish Zach would have just given the ball to Taj Brooks, who that whole game, since he couldn't really stop, especially if you're giving it to him on the outsides on like sweeps and stuff like that. He was just unstoppable when he was getting to the outside and the next level. And so that's where the frustrations come in, is like, why are you trying to do too much? You're giving the ball to like Dre McCray on a sweep and you're doing all this stuff. It's like that stuff you do against North Texas to me. That's not stuff that you do against Cincinnati. You give it to your best player, go let him win the game for you there. But yeah, those are obviously going to be the frustrating things. And those have been some of the frustrating things with Kittley so far, is just, it's kind of like we did in the Arizona State game too, which is, hey, you can finish this team off. And so far in these two conference games against teams that are not the best teams in the Big 12, you haven't been able to just finish these victories off and give us like a comfortable victory. You've made us kind of have to sweat these two out. And maybe that's something that can be fixed, but I don't have a whole lot of confidence in that. No. If that's what you're doing against Arizona State and Cincinnati. But what did you think about Baron in this game? He was 19 of 29 for 251 yards, 2 touchdowns, played another clean game and no turnovers. Your thoughts on his performance?
I thought this was one of Baron's better games that we've seen.
Yeah, I did too.
Like, in its entirety, he looked calm and collected, like distributing the ball well. It went around Horn. He wasn't like stuck on just Coy or just Josh Kelly. We got Dre McCray a lot more involved this game, and not because we were taking somebody else out. It was just kind of those plays, I guess, came up type deal, and we executed them well. I thought he did really well. And then, you know, a couple of those zone reads that he kept, especially the big one, that makes defenses think a little bit. And
So
I thought this was one of his better games that he's had in his career.
And that's now 5 starts on the season for him. The last time, I saw somebody who's like, the last time a quarterback started 5 games for you, the first 5 games of a season was Patrick Mahomes. So just shout out to, knock on wood, obviously.
Can we quit talking about it?
Yeah.
Don't post those things. This is like the baseball no-hitter. Like,
shut up.
Shut up and just let him play.
I thought he looked really good. He was slinging the ball around. Well, you're taking some shots downfield. He looks like he's getting a better feel for the game. Now, I don't know if that's the defenses just weren't good that we played against last 2 weeks, but he definitely feels like he has some confidence to him. He's definitely developing really good connections with Josh Kelly, who's become like his kind of favorite third down target, who's just a reliable receiver for you there. He obviously has the connection with Coy, but, he definitely found Dre on some very important plays in this game too. He's really spreading the ball around, and kind of what we blamed him for in the Washington State game of just staring down a guy. You definitely feel like he's seeing the field a little bit more, kind of, looking at other receivers. There's obviously certain plays where I'm going to Josh Kelly on this one. and rightfully so, because Josh Kelly is your most trustworthy receiver right now.
Yeah.
An amazing receiver. But yeah, I thought this was a really good Baron Wharton game, and it's good to see him start to kind of put together a few performances here that make you trust him when you do head into Arizona, that maybe he can go in there and do some things for you. Taz Brooks, obviously the MVP of this game for the Red Raiders, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns on the day. Just your thoughts on this game. This is a vintage Taj Brooks, just put the team on his back and get the job done.
I don't know if it's even vintage. I think this might be like one of the top of the podium type performances he's had. I mean
vintage as in like this is just what you expect from Taj in a game like this, you know?
And I mean, we probably should have gave him the ball a couple more times down in the red zone. I get like 32 is already a lot, but kind of need a touchdown there, you know?
I need score.
Kind of need 5 more yards. 33 for, you know, 177 wouldn't be terrible.
Would be perfect. That'd be the perfect stat line right there.
Yeah, and 3 touchdowns. But yeah, I mean, he was the best that day. Like, it was crazy how good he was seeing the field and being so patient. I think one of the D linemen for Cincinnati mentioned that, or the coach, like, how patient he was, and he'd find the hole. And this wasn't, I will say this, this was not a vintage Taj game in that he was getting, you know, 7 yards like every carry. He was busting out 20 yard runs quite often.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, it was incredible. I think he had a 40 yarder there towards the end to help us set up one 35. Of those field goals.
His longest was 35, but it definitely felt like he was breaking off 20. 25, 30 yarders.
It was nice to see that.
But then there was the times where, I think what Kittley did a good job of this game is trying to get him to the outside. It's something that I've kind of complained about a little bit, is he just falls in love with the run of the middle. But the outside runs were there. Instead of trying to give it to Taj up the middle against Dante Corleone, who was really damn good for Cincinnati up the middle. You're just not going to have a lot of success there. I always say Taj is great when he's going up against corners, safeties, and some linebackers who are not as big as him, not as fast as him, not as strong as him. So give him the chance to try to beat those guys instead of try to beat the 300 pounder up the middle, who's obviously bigger. And so I thought, you know, Zach did a good job of making sure Taj was getting the ball on the outside, and he was doing one hell of a job on that. Defensively, bit of a struggle in this game. Defense did come up with a couple turnovers for you. You had the AJ McCarty pick 6, which was awesome. The crowd was going wild after that. His second pick 6 of the season. But that was a huge, huge point of the game. What'd you think? Just your thoughts on that pick 6 and kind of how crazy the crowd was going after that.
Yeah, the pick 6 was incredible because I think that got you up 14 at that point in the third, and Ben Roberts put on some good pressure on their quarterback, who hasn't had a pick yet this season, and I called it. He was going to throw a pick, and McCarty just had a lot of open lane for 50 yards for an easy walk-in touchdown, and so that definitely helped, gave you enough cushion to win the game. I wouldn't say seal the game.
Yeah. Felt like at the time it
felt like a sealer.
Of course, you had to make it interesting.
Yeah.
Those are the good things. You had a fumble recovery to start the second half that gave you the offense a chance to score and take the lead. But other than that, you know, gave up 426 yards in the air, and Sorsby was kind of dicing you up. These receivers, it always just kind of felt like they were carving you out when they needed to convert on a third down or something. They were finding a guy in space. You did hold them to under 29 yards rushing, but your thoughts on kind of the concern from this secondary that also saw a few guys have to leave the game, and Chapman Lewis, Jordan Sanford. So I think you're on your third string, one of your third string safeties. You're already without Braylon Lux in this one. And you could tell it was a struggle for these guys.
Yeah. So I'm not as concerned about the yards because of two things. One of them is the injuries to our secondary. Obviously, when your two best guys, Braylon Lux and Chapman Lewis, go out earlier, don't even play. And, yeah, Jordan Sanford got hurt for about a quarter or so, I think. I don't even know. And, yeah, our third-string safety looked tiny out there.
Yeah,
it's not fun to see. He almost got that fumble recovery, though. I would have loved that.
He almost had that pick, too. Was it him who dropped the pick? I can't remember who dropped the pick.
Jordan Sanford came back with his hand bandaged up, and that's partly why he dropped it.
Yeah.
It's because of the bandage, whatever, on his hand. Yeah. So, whatever excuse you want to make for that. but there was that. A lot of holes in our secondary because of that. They also had, like, both of their running backs get hurt, I believe. And so they really struggled to run the ball naturally, like they would have liked to. So I think Cincinnati kind of went more all in with Sorsby just slinging it. And, you know, that side was going to sling it. We had holes because of some injuries. So, like, that's, again, we survived because we were giving it up because we just couldn't cover it with the backups we had. You know, it was just a situational deal, and both ways were kind of screwing us.
Yeah. And, you know, keep in mind, this was like Macho Stevenson's second game as a starter. And you're going up, you know, Xavier Henderson is a really good receiver. And there's a good quarterback, a good offense that was able to move the ball. And you were just, you know, you made the plays you needed to. You know, when you needed to hold them to a field goal at the very end, you were able to do that. Maybe the biggest defensive play of the game was when they going down the field at that last stretch, and that receiver got hurt and had to get off the field, and they had to sub.
We took 10 seconds
off the clock.
I mean, they had the ball with less like a minute and a half left, so you can't do anything to waste time. They had so many stupid situational plays in that. They had one guy just fall down. Well, you can't fake an injury anymore, or you got to take 10-second runoff or a timeout. I don't think they had any anymore.
I think they had one at the start because their first play of the
that was the fake the drive, injury.
The guy got hurt and it was under 2 minutes. So I think they gave the 10-second runoff.
Right. They had another one later. Like midfield, a guy got dinged up and he ran off. Well, that's a sub situation.
Yeah.
So, and we subbed 4D linemen real nice and slow.
Yeah.
And that probably cost them a good 12, 15 seconds, I would guess. Like they had a few real dumb situational plays. Like Bill Belichick would be dying if he saw stuff like that. Like, and we were like, this is incredible. Like, how dumb are y'all? This is bad.
Also, I saw a lot of Cincy fans complaining about that last drive. I don't understand what they were complaining about, really. I mean, maybe the targeting thing kind of.
They were saying they got screwed. But let me just say this. We never get the ref's favor. We had an even worse targeting miss on Coy Aiken, like the drive or two before that.
And if it wasn't targeting, it was an unnecessary roughness on a defenseless receiver that absolutely got nothing. The targeting, it wasn't targeting. The guys were going in to tackle him. Your quarterback slid.
He got down late.
Hit him with the shoulder. And then, I mean, it was a mess on the Cincy side that whole drive. Like, y'all kind of bleeped yourselves on that. And so I wasted
a lot of time there.
I couldn't understand why they were so. They thought they got hosed on that one, you know, other than that targeting call. But anyway, defense got the job done. They got the big plays. They forced the fumble that got us the lead, and then they got the pick six, which gave us that 14-point cushion, which ended up being huge. Helped us end up getting the victory. Stats again, Barron. 251 yards, 2 touchdowns. Taj, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns. Josh Kelly, 8 catches, 111 yards. Coy Aiken, 78 yards and 2 touchdowns on only 3 catches. He had a big breakaway touchdown for you there. That was really nice. I'm going to shout out Dre McCray as well, who also had a pretty solid game for you here with 5 catches, 39 yards. Those 39 yards were all big ones. And yeah, those are our stats, our prediction recap before we get into a Club Red. I predicted a 34. Wait, I did a 31-24. I accidentally had a typo there. I predicted 31-24 win for Texas Tech. Dustin predicted 31-27. So we're both not terrible, but the score ended up being a lot higher than we thought it was going to be with a 44-41 victory for the Red Raiders. So we both push on Texas Tech minus -3 there. And we both had the under this time. So we lose that one. Texas Tech and Cincy hit the over. My offensive prediction, far off this time. I had Caleb Douglas leading the receiver room. Thought it might be a big Caleb Douglas day. It was not. Dustin had 200-yard receivers. No, he did get Josh Kelly with 100, and Coy with 78 was pretty close. Coy had 2 touchdowns, so that was nice. So not a bad prediction there. Defense, we doubled down on Sorsby throwing his first interception of the season, and we got that one correct as Sorsby threw the pick six there, and that was in the fourth quarter. So that was a big start to the fourth quarter. That prediction correct. So now, before we transition over to Arizona, let's open up Club Red for the fourth time this season. Could he
trust us? Somebody turn on some damn music!
All right, Dustin, Club Red is open, and that means we've got to give out some VIP passes. So offense, obviously, Taj Brooks always gets in, and after a 172-yard performance, he gets in. Baron Morton leading the way as the quarterback in on this performance. Those two guys, as long as they do their jobs, they're always in. This is an opportunity to shout out some other players. So, Dustin, I'm going to go ahead and give you the reins to pick your Club Red VIP.
So, yeah, I'm going to go a little deeper, give you maybe the softball or easy ones. My offensive one's going to the O-line this week.
All right.
We've done the O-line shuffle for every week we've played. We've had some injuries. And this week, Porche was back to healthy, but Dalton Merriman's played good at left tackle for us. They said, Porche, you're going to play left guard for the first time in your career. And so he did, and we put, Caleb Rodgers over at right tackle where he feels better at, and maybe this is our best five. We didn't expect it, and having to move a guy from left tackle to left guard, but the inexperience might not matter if it's your best guys and you can run for 170-plus in a game.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. Kept Barron upright, too.
Yeah.
No sacks. Yeah, I thought they did a good job of keeping him protected, giving him time to throw, and clearing out some lanes for Taj to run. So, yeah, I think that's a good pick. Maybe he should be an automatic one, but I got to go Josh Kelly here. Just the consistency of him. He's been a joy to watch as a Red Raider from a team that struggled last year in the receiving department. He's already got, 487 yards on the season, which is he's like 100 yards away from.
It's like 75 away from Xavier White last year.
Beating our leader from last year. He's just been so consistent. He was a huge target for you on several third downs that helped move the chains and keep drives going. I was just really enjoying watching him do his thing for you and coming up with big time catches for you. I could have gone Coy, which I was thinking because he had the 2 touchdowns, but he also had some really big drops in this game. And so it was a bit of a roller coaster experience watching Coy out there, big plays, but then dropped his. He would have had a hat trick touchdown that I think he ended up settling for a field goal for. Now, I think that was the same drive that he ended up getting the missed targeting unnecessary roughness call on. So, we'll still let him in.
Sure.
I wanted to shout out Josh Kelly just because I thought he was just so good for you in this game. Defensive side of the ball. Do you have anything to add or?
Nope. I'm ready for defense.
Do you want me to go first or you want
I'll let you go first and take an easy one. I got a deep one for us.
I mean, the easy one is obviously AJ McCarty, who had the pick six, the touchdown for you. We don't get a lot of like pick sixes or defensive touchdowns. So anytime you get a defensive touchdown as a Red Raider, and this is his second one of the season, you gotta shout him out. I think it's the second one, right? He had the one against UNT.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure
he also had the one at Baylor against Texas Tech.
Yeah, I mean, he scores a lot of touchdowns for a defensive player.
He has scored a pick six for and against you in this stadium. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a huge play, huge part of the game. Gave you that 14-point separation, so got to shout him out. I'm curious where you're going to go here.
I'm going to Braylon Carroll.
Yeah, that is a good one to pick.
He
yeah.
had a sick game on the D-line at D-tackle. He was stuffing runs left and right, especially like a couple drives. He was on every run. You could not get a run going on him. And he's the main reason like they had to start slinging the ball is because he would not let anybody – he was making tackles for losses and played amazing.
Yeah, that's a really good one. He was a beast up front. Every time it was like the Braylon Carroll with the stop to Braylon Carroll. Yeah, he was a – he was in his bag in this game.
Yeah.
Some honorable mentions. I mean, Ben Roberts and Jacob Rodriguez, both double-digit tackles for them. Ben Roberts, 2 tackle for losses. You had 6 total tackles for loss. You did get a sack. Jaden Cofield came up with a sack, so that was good. You know, QB pressure, it was there. You were forcing Sorsby to try to, like, escape the pocket a few times, make some plays on the run, but still got to get better in the quarterback pressure department. But in stuff in the run, Braylon Carroll was the guy. That's a good pick. So those are our Club Red VIPs for this week. And that will do it for our Texas Tech Cincy recap. Let's transition now over to Texas Tech in Arizona, where the Red Raiders are headed out west again to face the Arizona Wildcats in Tucson. The Wildcats coming off a victory, an upset over the Utah Utes in Utah this past weekend, a pretty big upset there after Arizona struggled against Kansas State. They bounced back with a nice road win. Some things about Arizona, of course, we previewed them in the offseason, but Noah Fifita is their quarterback. He's a pretty solid quarterback that helped lead them to a really good record last year so far. He's thrown for a little over 1,000 yards, 1,060 yards, 7 touchdowns. He does have 4 interceptions so far on the season. Kwali Conley, the leading rusher on this team, leads the team with 322 yards on the ground and 4 touchdowns. So he's the main running threat they have, but they do have Kedrick Rescano, who has 147 yards on the ground so far this season. The big name and one name that we hope we don't have to hear a whole lot this Saturday, but that's Tatora McMillan. I don't know if I pronounced that first name right, but he's their beast of a wide receiver. He has 503 yards on the season and 4 touchdowns. He got 300 of that in their first game of the season. But still, he is a big play threat at the wide receiver position, and with a already thin secondary, hopefully some of those guys are healthy. Braylon Lux, Chapman Lewis, you need them to be healthy to help slow this guy down. Another receiving threat for them is their tight end, Keon Burnett. He kind of struggled against a Cincy tight end. I thought he came up pretty big for them in certain spots. This guy, I don't think he's as good as the Cincy tight end, but he is second on the team with 125 yards and a touchdown on the season. Defensively, Arizona has given up 201 passing yards a game while giving up 154 rushing yards per game. So it's a pretty salty pass defense. They got Takario Davis, who's probably one of the better cornerbacks in college football. Last week, he was dominant against Utah. I think he had 5 pass breakups in that one game. So he's a name you're going to probably hear a lot. He's probably going to be matched up with, I would assume, Josh Kelly several times, which will be a really fun matchup for you. So he's the guy to watch. Their defense so far, 9 sacks on the season, 4 interceptions and 1 fumble. So out of the last few teams you played, this is a team that hasn't really created a whole lot of turnovers on the defensive side of the ball so far. So definitely less than the last few teams you placed played against. But that's a quick rundown on Arizona offense and defense for you guys. Dustin, your thoughts on the matchup with the Wildcats, 10 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, the 10 p.m. start sucks.
I'm just going to
that stay, night. We'll be here all freaking night because halftime's only at midnight. But yeah, this is by far the best team you faced. I mean, you faced a decently good Arizona State team, a more solid Cincinnati team. Now you face a good team, and where this is really where you find out where you fall. So how do I feel about it? I don't know. I mean, we've been terrible on the road in 3 years, going 3-9 in conference, I believe. Like, it's not great. And like, we need to play tight. I mean,
yeah,
we need to play tight. Don't mess it up. We've played better at home the last 2 weeks doing stuff like that. But now can we do it in someone else's building? I mean, they don't have like a crazy crowd. Their place is smaller than ours, but I mean, Washington State had that same issue and we couldn't handle that. So am I worried? Yeah. Do I think we can handle it? Also, yeah. But what way does it go? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's my concerns, is just you haven't really proved it on the road a whole lot. You know, sure, you've beaten a couple bad teams on the road over the past. That's where you've gotten your three victories from. But you haven't really gone on the road.
Good teams.
And also on some of those, you haven't played like the best. I mean, you beat Kansas last year, but you only scored 16 points in that victory. You know, you beat Iowa State, I think, a couple years ago, and you only scored 14 points. So your offense still struggles when it goes on the road.
Baylor last year, who was like 3-9. So
yeah, be a terrible Baylor team. And so when you're playing good teams on the road, like a decent Washington State team, you completely unraveled as a team. You looked completely incompetent on both sides of the ball, kind of there. So that's your last memory of going on the road. And sure, you might have cleaned some things up. You have Taj Brooks back, which helps.
That helps a lot.
You know, so that's definitely going to make a difference for this offense. But yeah, it's definitely scary when you haven't really seen it consistently against good teams. And you know, if Arizona would have lost to Utah this week, I would have felt much better about this. But
that too,
them getting that victory definitely gets their fan base a little back into it after what could have been back to back losses, and kind of sucked the life out of a fan base. Instead, they go in and beat the cocky Utah. Utah team, and ends up, you know, kind of bringing the fan base back into it. And so yeah, I'm definitely nervous because they have a really good pass game. You know, have a good quarterback, a really good receiver. We just got torched for 400 yards. We've been torched for 500 by ECU, so that doesn't like give me a whole lot of confidence. But like you said, there's also a way I can see this team going in there, and if you're able to kind of do what you did the last few weeks, Barron can not turn the ball over. If he can, if Taj can run the ball, you can see there's a way you can see yourself in this game. And so that brings us to the offensive side of the ball. This time on the road, you do have Taj Brooks. That helps you. But that's, you know, I brought you up how we only average like 24 points per game in conference play.
Oh, great. What's our road
record?
Well,
guess what we average on the road in conference play or against good teams? 19
I was almost there.
Not good. So that's scary. What do you think the offense can do this week against this Arizona Wildcat defense?
Yeah, the offense isn't where my concerns are right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've played really good offense the last 2 weeks in conference. Kelly's been in more of a rhythm. Like we mentioned in the recap, like just trying to convert and finish some of those drives with seven rather than three is some little stuff, honestly. And my concern is not there, even with a really good corner on one side. That would have concerned me last year really bad because they could have just shoved him on Coy Aiken and we'd have been screwed.
Yeah.
Not this year. Like, we move our guys around so much better, and sure, whoever he's on might not be involved in that play. Fine. We got four other dudes out on routes, three other dudes, plenty of guys to catch the ball. It's like, they don't concern me as much. Now Can our O-line that we kind of reshuffled last week and had a really great week, can they do it again? Can they play and keep bearing upright? Can they get Taj 100-plus yards really easy like they did last week? They're playing a better D-line as a group. You don't have an all-conference-type D-tackle like Cincy did, but you have four really good dudes, kind of like Arizona State's defense had, like a better front as a group. So like,
Arizona defense all around, just they do have players on every level. You know, they have a really good linebacker duo too. So, you know, this is a more salty defense than
definitely. But and they handled, you know, Utah pretty well last week. But I think it comes down to your up front guys. If they can hold up with Barron and let Taj run, that's big key.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm less worried about that unit right now, which is kind of bizarre to say. But yeah, they've looked pretty good the last 3 weeks. Can you do it on the road? You know, like we say, this is a prove it drive for Kittley. This is a prove it game for Kittley. Can you do it on the road in conference play? Can you go out there? Not necessarily saying you have to go win this game, but if you go out there and put up another dud on offense where you can't score over 20 points, like that's really going to concern me. You can score at home, but you've got to be able to take the offense on the road and win some games. You know, that's what the most telling thing to me was about the Washington State game. It's like, now you have Taj Brooks. That's obviously going to be make it a lot easier for this offense. That's what the Washington State game was so scary. Is like, you don't have Taj Brooks next year. You got to start figuring some things out. That was alarming, but having Taj Brooks there is going to obviously help. I think the key to this game is going to be Taj. And if he can put up a similar stat line to the Cincy game, then you're going to have a shot in this one. So very curious to just see if this offense can travel. That's basically what I'm looking for. Can Barron play better on the road as well? He looked a little frazzled against Washington State. I'm hoping we can see the calm Barron that we've seen the last few weeks and in control of the offense and giving it to the guys in white and not the guys on the other team. Also, one of the things I will say, we haven't had a whole lot of – it doesn't feel like we've been on fourth downs as much these last few weeks.
So
we're 0-for-1 in Cincy, and that feels great. It feels like Kittley's made – we're trying to get it on third down instead of, hey, we've got fourth down to mess
around. That got brought up in the press conference.
Yeah.
And Kittley addressed it. Joey addressed it. And I kind of have my own take on it too, but they both said like, the book's down on the sidelines. They can look at it and play the game with it better, knowing the feel and what's going on more. It's like, in Washington State, why are you going to go for it on fourth down with Cameron Valdez rather than Taj Brooks, you know?
Yeah.
Like, makes a big difference. But yeah, they did say, Kittley said, like, he's calling plays more to get the third down rather than to get to two or three yards within the first down. And so that has helped our play calling,
shocking.
You know, shocking to convert these and not have to deal with it. I think you're like 4-for-10 on the season or 3-for-10 or something.
Yeah.
And like, I like our Jalen Conyers packages, but yeah, I'd like us to go for it on third downs better. But like, they're all situational. Like, it's not a, do we always go for it or not? But I did hear a stat that like the other team is scoring, I think on the 7 we've missed, it's like 30-some points.
Yeah.
That's so that's the other thing. And like, it was a lot in the Washington State game when I brought it up, like we're giving them the ball on the 40 and 45 yard line on our own end half the time. Like, that's the problem. So like, I think having your hand and your finger on the pulse of when to go for it is a better idea than just always going for it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in this game, the one fourth down you went for was, you know, Cincinnati already had the ball on our side of the field, scored on the first play. that's not
sucks.
Great for your team. I'm glad that they're starting to view third down as a, hey, let's get the first down here. There's certain times where it's okay, go to fourth down. I don't mind it. I'm not angry every time we go for it on fourth down. There's times where it makes sense. But it's just been good to see us actually convert on some third downs and not have to live or die by so many fourth downs. And I hope that's something we can take with us this weekend too, is, you know, it just makes a big difference for this offense. And so that's been good. Defensively, we've kind of already mentioned it, kind of scared for this one. You got a really good offense, good quarterback, great receiver, a couple good running backs to face off against. What are your expectations for a banged up defense that we're hoping on a available Braylon Lux, Chapman Lewis, several other guys to be able to play in this one?
Yeah, this is where I'm concerned. So I wasn't concerned about the offense, but I'm definitely concerned about the defense, because they got dudes on offense, especially their quarterback, wide receiver who went to high school together. T-Mac is a really, really good receiver, big dude also. But, yeah, kind of – and I'll say this, good thing about our defense, our run defense has been really good this year.
Yeah, when it's not the quarterback, it's been pretty solid.
Correct. Take out the quarterback, like, scrambling. Like, the traditional run defense has been really, really good. So that part doesn't concern me. It's the pass defense. Now, the good thing is Fifita, he can scramble, but he's trying to do the Pat Mahomes, like, scramble to create more time and get the ball downfield to McMillan. And so, I don't know, double McMillan all game? Like,
yeah,
they don't do a lot everywhere else, so like, might as well.
Yeah, there's but not
it all depends on like Braylon Lux being back, to be honest.
Yeah, that's going to be a big factor in this one. But yeah, when you really look at their other receiving stats, and he's got 500 yards, everybody else it's 100, and then
125, 96, 83.
So yeah, it seems like teams' plans after the 300 yard performance he had in week one has been, hey, let's try to take him out of the game as much as we can and make the other guys beat you. And, you know, Arizona kind of has struggled a little bit. They haven't been the greatest. They pulled off that win against Utah, but Kent State put the whooping on them.
Right.
And so, this, you know, there is a way. And I think if you can take him out, make Fifita a little uncomfortable. He's got four interceptions already on the season. Seems like he's going to be a guy who's going to give you maybe a chance or two. You've been an opportune defense, and you force a turnover in every single game so far this season. You know, forced two last week. And so if you come up with the right opportunities to force some turnovers, maybe help build a lead if you, you know, start the game off with one or, you know, big opportunities there, that could be great for you. But, you know, I think our best defense in this one, it might be running the ball with Taj Brooks and running some clock and not really giving their offense a chance to be on the field a whole lot, control that time of possession, and avoid the big plays at all costs. You know, I don't mind them beating you down or beating down the field on like 10, 15 yard plays. You don't want to give up those, you know, 60, 70 yard touchdowns that are just like backbreakers for you, you know? Any other points you want to hit on this Texas Tech Arizona game before we get into our predictions?
No, let's do some predictions, man.
Let's do our predictions. Texas Tech Arizona, Saturday night, 10 p.m., late nighter. Dustin, lead us off with your Texas Tech Arizona score prediction.
The 10 p.m. aggravates me. Yeah. Makes me more nervous about the road game.
A freaking long day of just like,
I mean, nothing's worked for us. And Arizona's a really good team. I think they win it. So I got Tech 31, Arizona 37.
So you got Arizona 37. Tech, what'd you say?
31.
Tech 31. All right.
Yep. I just don't know that we can do enough to stop them on offense, especially if we have holes on our secondary like we've had most of the year.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. You know, I did the 19 points per game on the road. That kind of scares me. But, you know, last week I did that same thing for the Big 12, and the offense came out and put 44 points on the board. I think offensively you're going to be better on the road in this game. But yeah, I think Arizona is going to be a little too much for you. I have Arizona 41, Texas Tech 34. I think it's going to be a little bit of a high scoring game. I don't think you're going to be able to stop them, but I think you're going to be able to put some points on the board. So, but we are both.
That makes
me
feel better, at least. I mean, it's only three more points, but still.
Yeah, it was encouraging to see what the offense did last week. I think if they can build on that, if they can show me something here on the road, I really will start to believe in Kittley a little bit more than I do. He's earning a little more trust each week, I think. So both of us now, the Texas Tech currently is a +6.5 point underdog, Arizona 6.5 point favorite. Dang. Dustin is going
with Tech in the points.
Yeah, Dustin is going with Tech there with the 6-point Arizona victory. I have a 7-point Arizona victory.
Do you want to change your score?
I'm going Arizona. I didn't realize how close that would all be. Over under is 64.5 points.
We both got the over there.
We both went under last week, and of course it went over. We have not been great at our over under predictions so far this year. When we think it's going to go over, it goes under. When we think it's going to go under, it goes over. This one, I feel like it's going to over. I feel pretty safe with that one. All right, your offensive prediction for the Arizona game, Dustin, what are you going with?
I want to stick with the no turnovers, but I've already done that a couple times. I'm going to mix both of mine together, all right? Just came up with this. I already hit the defense one in the bag, but I'm going to say Josh Kelly has more receiving yards than T-Mac does. And T-Mac for them is going to have under 120. That's my defensive prediction.
Okay, so we already got
more receiving yards.
I said receiving.
The yards. I mean, more you yards. Can go 8 for 50, but who cares?
Hold T-Mac to under
120.
Under 120.
Yeah, I thought about that one today, and I was like, "That if we can hold him, like, that'd be great. Like, that's a good number."
I'm actually in the same with you there defensively. So I had us holding McMillan. I was gonna say 100, but I like the 20-yard cushion.
100 is so hard, yeah, especially with a guy like this.
Yeah. I was like, even me, I didn't believe in that one. I'm going to double down.
I almost went up to 150.
Yeah. Like I did with defense. We don't give up 500 yards passing in this game.
I was like, that's too easy. I gotta try to cut myself off somewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to double down with you. It worked out last week with the interception. My offensive prediction is I'm going with Taj Brooks is going to have over 30 carries. Ooh. He's going to have over 150 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And he's going to have two touchdowns.
I like it. That'd be a great line.
It's basically what he did last weekend. He's going to do it again. Because I think the key recipe for the Red Raiders to win is a large dose of Taj, lots of yards, lots of clock running, time of possession in your favor. And if he's able to punch it in a few times, that reads well for the Texas Tech Raiders. I like you. Defensively, we're going with holding T-Mac under 120 yards receiving. So, to recap our score predictions, Dustin going with Arizona 37, Texas Tech 31. I am going with Arizona 41, Texas Tech 34. On the spread, Dustin's going with Texas Tech +6.5. I am going with Arizona -6.5. Dustin has a 6-point victory. I have a 7-point victory. Over under in this game, we're both going with over 64.5 points. Offensive prediction, Dustin has Josh Kelly's going to have more receiving yards than T-Mac. I have Taj Brooks going over 30 carries, over 150 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the day. Basically just saying he's going to copy and do what he did last week. Defensive prediction, we are doubling it down yet again, holding T-Mac to under 120 yards. Once again, if all of these things happen, things might go well for the Red Raiders in this game.
Exactly.
And so that's what we're trying to put together, a story that can, you know, make sense for Texas Tech to pull out the dub in Tucson. But unfortunately, we both see the Wildcats pulling this one off. But yeah, late nighter coming on Saturday. Not looking forward to having to wait all day till 10 p.m. to watch this one. I enjoy conference realignment. This is the first time that I haven't enjoyed having these guys. Is just the fact that you're going to have some of these games so late at night.
Yeah.
Not that enjoyable. I'm not going to enjoy having to watch this game until like 2 a.m. And then if it's an exciting game, you know, you have to come down from that as well. So,
Sunday's going to suck.
Going to be a long night. Sunday's going to suck. I'm going to do absolutely nothing on Sunday though. So that's all right. But we hope you guys enjoy watching this one on Saturday night. Hopefully the Red Raiders give us lots to cheer about that late, that early into the morning. We will be watching. And so to make sure you are catching everything we do here at Tailgate Talks, next week we'll be recapping this one and getting ready for a much-needed bye week for the Red Raiders. Follow us. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those 5 stars. 5 stars for the tailgate. I almost forgot. Final shots. Did you want to do final shot?
I got a quick one.
I got caught up into wrapping up the show. But then the reason I'm wearing it's my final shot time and there's
Rangers jersey, even though they didn't make the playoffs this year. They were coming on hot late, but they had a lot of injuries going on. Couldn't quite, didn't have enough runway to close the gap. But the Astros got swept by the Tigers. And 2-0, they're already out. So champions are still in Texas. And another young brother takes down the Astros, Jace Young and the Tigers. So guess I'm cheering for them at this point.
Yeah, just nice to not have to watch the Astros play to the ALCS final.
Yep.
7 straight years of torture. Bitches. Finally. I do like how everybody's like another Jace Young or another young brother takes him out. I'm like, I don't think Jace played once in the series, but it's okay.
But who knew that having a young brother play was like the Astros kryptonite?
Yeah. Who thought? But yeah, Major League Baseball playoffs. Underway. Yeah, I don't really have much of a rooting interest this year. I'm just, there's certain teams in there that are, you know, kind of fun. So, you know, I'll obviously be monitoring that. Who won baseball? Mets won. Mets beat the Brewers.
They hit a 3-run home run in the top of the ninth while we're recording to probably win this game.
All right.
That's exciting.
So all the wild card series have been determined. My final shot, the Texas Tech basketball jerseys were released this week. What did you think about the basketball jerseys?
I thought they were sick. I like the, throwback to Andre Emmett days with the big T's and Texas Tech across the front. I'm glad we got away from the Texas across the top and Tech on the bottom. I hate that look.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I want the Texas Tech together, not Texas on one part for obvious reasons. I did wish there was a little variety in one of the jerseys.
I think like the shorts details, they're a little different.
Doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
I wish there was one variety uniform. Obviously the easy pick, the one I like would be a Red Raider red uniform. So overall, great.
Yeah. I thought they look clean. I like the look of them. Yeah, I thought it was a good jersey reveal. They look good. We're going to look good on the basketball court. Maybe there is an alternate or something, you know, like the football one that might have gotten leaked tonight. I'm sure there might be a fourth one in the mix there for them. So, that, you know, interested to see that. But I thought Adidas did good. I like the details. I like the look. I like you said, I like the Texas Tech print on there. Going to look good when basketball season finally tips. Other final shot, we did lose two legends this week in the sports world. Pete Rose, RIP Pete Rose, passed away, and Dikembe Mutombo passed away too. That one kind of shocking. He's only 58 years old. No, not today.
Had some great SportsCenter commercials or
oh yeah It was like Geico or something.
Geico,
like that,
State Farm, something. He had great
throw like the cereal into your shopping cart basket, and he would just block it out there.
Yeah, he was awesome in the late 90s and 2000s.
So a couple legends, unfortunately, passing this weekend. So, you know, rest in peace to those guys, and thoughts with their families and their fans across the world. Go ahead.
The best tweet I saw about the Pete Rose deal said he had a lifetime ban, and now that's expired. So does he get in the Hall of Fame now? Oh my God, that's a great point.
Yeah, it's a really good point. He should be. They already should have put him in there. He can't tell the story of baseball without Pete Rose.
I mean, you can put him in as a player. He did all his dumb gambling stuff as a manager.
Like, yeah.
He's still the best hitter you've ever had by far.
By far. Let him in the Hall. But yeah, so I wanted to at least mention that, as it feels like we've lost a lot of legends here recently in the sports world. So it's unfortunate as these guys get older, but wanted to shout them out before we head out. Sorry, I started the wrap up of the show and then realized we had done Final Shot.
I thought you planned that.
But y'all all know the drill, where to follow us. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Apple, Spotify, all of those places. Make sure you give us five stars for the tailgate. And once again, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us this week. We hope you enjoy your tailgating on Saturday, wherever that might be, wherever you enjoy watching this late nighter. Hopefully, you know, if this game goes past two, hopefully the bars are kind enough to if you're watching it at a Woodrow's or somewhere, they're kind enough to keep it open until this game ends. We'll see.
That's
we'll
a
see.
Nightmare. I didn't That's even a, think about it, because I'm having the party at my house this weekend.
So enjoy watching this one. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.